Welcome to the City of Tukwila Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting. I'm Tosh Sharp, joined by Mohammed Abdi and Cynthia Delstreamers Johnson. It's Monday, September 18th, 2023, and the time is about 5:30. We have no presentations, but we do have three items on our business agenda, starting with A, which is King County RE Plus grant acceptance by Ms. Minion, with the idea of after the presentation briefing, we would forward this to the 10 to 23 regular consent agenda. At your convenience, Ms. Minion.
Mm-hmm. All right, Griffin, did you want to talk a little bit about that background?
Sure thing. Good evening, council members. I'm just going to tee it off for Colleen here. This is Griffin Lerner, Public Works Analyst. So you may remember a few months ago in June, we brought in Amy Ockerlander from King County Solid Waste Division, who told you a little bit about the RE Plus pledge. And as a result of the city signing that pledge, we became eligible for grant funding associated with the RE Plus program. So we are here tonight to, you know, inform you that we have received $83,000 as a function of signing that RE Plus pledge. And now Colleen will tell you a little bit more about the grant opportunity. Take it away, Colleen.
Thanks, Griffin. So this is a grant that we went into partnership with the City of Burien and the City of Maple Valley to make it a more competitive grant. And the idea is that we are going to be working with frontline businesses that are going to be affected by the organics management law. And what that's going to be including are really working with businesses that need extra assistance, perhaps, maybe with translation services for signage, for creating how-tos in terms of how to compost in the back of the house, because we're really going to be focusing on food service, but in the back of the house. The $83,000 is not divided amongst the three cities. We're going to be jointly working together to hire a consultant that's going to be visiting businesses in all three cities. The goal is that in each city, we will have 25 new businesses sign up for organic service, and this consultant will be going out and assisting with each of them to make sure that they can be successful. So our goal, as mentioned, 25 new businesses signed for organics per city, and we hope to increase the tonnage of our organics, reduce contamination. And with that, I'll take any questions about grant.
Okay. Sure. Councilmember Abdi.
Yes, just want to say thanks for the presentation. For the information. I'm in support of this. You know, I love how you guys support, you know, the managing food service businesses and how you guys are trying to increase the amount of, you know, people that you guys are trying to help out, like you said, 25 per city. Mm-hmm. So, like, no questions, more so comments, just, like, really respect and appreciate the work that's being done for this grant. And I think it's a great opportunity for our city and for people. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Delstreamers Johnson.
Yeah, I'm assuming you'll be managing, like, our portion of the grant. My understanding is you guys are teaming up to hire a consultant that'll work with all of the cities, but you'll be the point of contact for Tukwila, correct? Okay.
Yeah, council members, I just wanted to say Colleen is our new solid waste.
I forgot to introduce myself.
And I think she came to last council meeting, but she and Griffin are at the same level, same kind of work. And so Griffin started this, so I want to take time to appreciate both of them for bringing this grant, and she will be managing this grant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And supported.
Great. So we're seeking approval to forward the acceptance of the grant.
Yeah.
Hi.
It's all right. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I ask questions. I'm here to just manage the meeting, but sometimes I ask questions. So it says that you're going to buy Slim Jim style waste receptacles.
Yeah.
So what happens? How do you go about that? Is that how do you distribute that amongst folks? How does one get one?
We would be working with a consultant to buy. We you can get deals on purchasing Slim Jims, and usually the there's not like a break in terms of you buy 50 and that's when you get a price break. It's usually like you buy 5 or 10. So we're not going to be worried about, you know, storage issues of purchasing too many of them. So as it goes, we will find out if a restaurant needs one or two or how many they need to become successful in there.
Well, how do we know if there's enough to go around? Is there a projected amount of containers you're trying to get, and is 80, I don't know what they run, so
yeah.
83, and is 83 divided amongst the three or the other cities, or is this Tukwila get to spend all 83,000?
We do, like, the money is only going to be going through us, but we will be purchasing in bulk for like the Slim Jims to go to those cities, but to make sure that it is equal, like that's one of the reasons why the goal is 25 per city. But it might be that there's a, you know, one of our businesses needs two or three, and a business in Maple Valley might need one. So it's not going to be necessarily divided equally in terms of the equipment purchase. It's more the number of cities is like what we're aiming for. And we did project in our budget that of that 83,000 that about 5,400 was going to go towards Slim Jims and the lids.
Okay. So based on your studies, there's enough to go around if a business wants one of these Slim Jim containers.
Correct.
And then what does the signage look like as far as what does that mean? Is it just little things that get planted into the dirt, or is it an actual proper sign?
Yeah, good question. It'll be signs that can be put either above the actual container that will show what goes into it, and also like skinnier signs will go on the container itself.
Okay.
So it'll tell employees what actually goes into the container.
Okay, so it's signage that actually goes on the container.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens to the unspent funds, if there are any at the end of this little thing? What happens to that money?
It would go back to King County to be, I don't know if they would just absorb it or if they would redistribute amongst the recipients.
Okay. And then is there a chance that we would go over the budget of whatever is allocated to Tukwila?
I don't think we would. The only way that we would do that is if we decide this is really a successful program and we want to expand it. So for this specific project, we wouldn't, but I could see us wanting to expand into like maybe, you know, if we decide, like, wow, 25, like we met that, let's expand this. And so it would require more funding.
I see. So if it turns out this is an awesome idea, which sounds like it, you would end up just adjusting your budget or making an ask to get additional funds in the future.
Yeah, it would be part of like a 2-year, you know, program to take a look at what the budget and the funds should be and the priorities. And it could rise to the top.
Right. Well, that's all I have. Is there any questions, other questions? Okay. Well, it sounds like you'll have 3 votes that is agreement to forwarding this to the 10-23 regular consent agenda. Thank you. That brings us to item B, which is the 2022 overlay and repair project completion and acceptance. I think this briefing will be done by Mr. Ronda, I believe. And the idea would be to forward this to the 10-23 regular consent agenda. When you're ready, sir.
Okay, so this is just basically request to accept the 2022 overlay and repair project as complete and authorize release of retainage and performance bond. The history on the project is that basically every year we try and wrap a bunch of projects together and do an overlay project to kind of keep our roads in good shape. This one was initially, contract amount was $1.6 million-ish. We had a few things that changed during the project. One of them was a positive change order for $26,000, and that was to add some conduits to a crossing up by the Shoalter Middle School. We have a crosswalk there that got wrapped into this project. It started as an overlay, and then it kind of captured a few other items, including some flashing beacons down in Allentown and another a new design and a new configuration for some flashing beacon crosswalks at the middle school. So all three of those kind of got wrapped into the one project. This $26,000 that you see there is the change order number one, was for some conduits that we didn't anticipate putting in and decided we probably needed to put those in during the construction before we put the sidewalks down. The flashing beacons up at Showalter were supposed to be, they were supposed to be solar panel powered, but there were some local foliage that we were concerned about may not give us enough light to keep those things running full time. So we put conduits in the ground just in case. We ended up having to try and connect those to a power source. And then the only other significant changes that we made to the project was there was originally we had 37th on the overlay plan between 144th and 140th. And during the initial coordination with the different third-party utilities out there, we talked to the water district and found that they had a water line up there that they really wanted to try and replace before we overlaid it. So we ended up taking that out of last year's overlay scope, and we ended up putting it in this year's overlay. They're actually prepping to do the restoration on that project in the next couple of weeks. They're actually putting the water line in now. So in order to not lose that time and money and a good price we had on our asphalt, we shifted some of that total paving volume down to the Aurelia Road site, which is right down on the south end of the city. We extended those project limits up and down the hill a little bit farther to be able to use up more of that quantity and get us more overlay on that segment. The primary reason for doing the overlay down in that area was right at the intersection, because the intersection is really falling apart. And if you look at the photos that are attached to this, there's some before and after photos. That second set in that sheet shows you kind of what it really looked like before we did the overlay there, and then what it looked like afterwards. There were also some signal improvements there. We did upgraded some of the crosswalk features and added some new cameras with some new control systems. So there was more than just a simple overlay at that particular location. But yeah, with that, the overs and unders were primarily under. We were under on our quantities by 140,000, and we had one changer for 26. So we didn't use any of the contingency, and we came in a couple hundred thousand dollars under the original contract amount. So any questions about any of that?
Councilmember Opti, do you have questions?
Yeah, on the memo, it talks about there's an 8% contingency that was applied for the bid amount that was authorized for the $1,741,000. Usually, in those types of situations, is it usually 8% contingency, or is I used to think it was like 10% or something like that, you know?
So it depends, and it really is driven by the configuration of the project. So when we have high-risk projects like utility projects where you're going underground and you know, bad things tend to happen underground because you can't see it very well during design, or if you have some other high-risk element that involves, you know, time of year work that might be weather-sensitive or something like that, we will typically ask for a higher percentage on those types of projects. The overlay projects are all pretty basic. This one wasn't like a pure overlay. So it was kind of in the middle ground there, but you know, it depends on the project is kind of what drives that contingency request.
Okay, thank you for that clarity. And you were talking about the water line, you know, project that you guys are trying to work on right now. Can you please explain a little bit more? You said that it was something that you guys noticed not too long ago. Like it's something that you guys are trying to fix on the fly, you know? So can you speak a little more to that?
Yeah, so the 37th roadway up there, just east of west of TIB, that service area is actually served by Water District 125. So it's not our water district. It's not our water system. It's a different water district that operates within the city of Tukwila. So we normally try and coordinate with them with our projects to make sure that they've got their infrastructure, you know, in a satisfactory state before we put an overlay on top. We don't like to have utilities come in and cut open our roadways just after we put brand new pavement down. It tends to decrease the useful life of the pavement. And we generally have a moratorium for when we do these types of projects. We don't let anybody come in and cut that surface for a number of years. So in this project, it was a little bit unique. We had a kind of a turnover of personnel. Scott Bates used to run the overlay project. He retired. We hired a new engineer, project manager, to take that project over. He got it up into construction, and then he left. So it came to me to actually run it through construction. And unfortunately, through kind of some of those baton handoffs, we didn't do fantastic coordination with the water district about exactly where we were going to be doing these overlay projects. So when I was coordinating with the water districts early on in the project to tell them that we were coming, that's when I kind of had that curveball thrown at me in the field about this water line that they have been having problems with, and they'd really been trying to get it replaced. So I talked to the manager of the water district. He promised that if we would postpone our overlay in that particular segment of the project, that he would put it on the top of his list to get out there and repair it and put a new water line in. So that's what he did. They have their contractor on site right now doing that work. And it actually affects a couple of the different roads that are actually on this year's overlay project. So we've had to coordinate that work with them fairly carefully and let their contractor play through and complete their waterline installation so that we can come in and put the new overlay on top of it.
I appreciate that. So my quick follow-up with that one is, like, let's say all goes well, like, what would the timeline be like to get that repaired or get that done, sorry?
Yeah, so right now we're probably only a couple of weeks out with the current water district contractor completing his installation for the water lines. So I was out actually today looking at the subgrade and looking at how we're going to try and put that road back together. It's pretty beat up. So we're expecting to have HCON, who is the water district contractor, do the subgrade prep and base layer of pavement sometime within the next couple of weeks. And then Lakeside, who's our contractor for the overlay, will come in immediately after that and finish the overlay. They've actually, the water district's prime contractors actually also hired Lakeside. So they're doing both the subgrade work for the water district and our overlay, which should make the coordination a lot easier. But I'm expecting that to happen sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Appreciate it. I have a few other questions, but I'll come back. I don't want to take up too much time. So
that's no, you can hit certainly. Go ahead. Continue.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I don't want to overtake all the time. So you guys talked about basically like the total amount being paid is $1,498,000. Like I'm still trying to learn, like, are we I'm trying to understand like how we would be able to do that, like, with our current budget and things like that, you know? So, like, do you guys have, like, a city match or, like, what's attached to this, like, you know, this amount that you guys are wanting to, like, you know, get help with? Sorry if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but let me, well, so the overlay program is actually part of our capital improvements program that is budgeted every year. So we set that amount of money aside in our budgeting. This is actually just showing the results of last year's overlay project. So, and I see that Cindy has her hand up, so I will defer to Cindy since she's actually more of that side.
Yeah, Cindy Dyke. Yeah.
Please.
So the overlay program is budgeted every year within our CIP and the city's budget. We are not eligible for grant funding for our overlay program due to the fact that Tukwila, we exceed the assessed valuation threshold that would have allowed us to apply for grants. So this is something that is always fully budgeted out of just our general revenue dollars. And so the entire overlay program is out of just our city budget, and it is budgeted. And we are underrunning it this year by what Mike said is about a couple $100,000. And it got a little muddy there on his talk about coordination with the water district. The work that's being done with the overlay and coordination with the water district is actually currently underway, and it will be part of what we report out next year on the 2023 overlay. It had originally been planned for the 2022 overlay, but when we found out that there was a conflict, we simply pulled it from that contract from last year and then are doing the work this year. So just for clarity on that one. But again, it's fully budgeted every year, no grant monies. So it's a fairly simple to fund program.
So if I may add to that, Councilmember, if you look at page 14, you have a map there that shows the four projects that were done under this contract. What we do in Public Works is with this map, and we also have a report that shows how paving condition is on each one of our streets. And the paving report, we were striving for 60 or higher paving rank. And then so once we identify streets that need attention, and then we go in a chronological order. And also we also try with the ranking, also we try to go in the same area of the city if possible, so the contractor doesn't have to move around. We get the best prizes. So there's a bit of a science behind this, the way we're approaching this. And what Cindy said is correct, that we won't get grants for this because this is preventive maintenance. If you have looked at our streets, they're in a much better shape than some of our neighboring jurisdictions because we take good care of our streets. So when you're doing that preventive maintenance, they're usually not eligible for grants. If a street is in a really terrible shape, total reconstruction has to be done, they're eligible for grants, but then again, they cost way more money to reconstruct. That being said, our staff does very diligent coordination with all the water districts, and we also have Comcast. We have all of these other dry utilities that go through. So there's a lot of work that is behind the scenes for us to make sure that our streets are in good condition. And also, as you know, that the paving can only happen during the dry season, which spurs between April to September at the most. So anyway, there's a lot of work the staff is doing to make sure that our streets are in good shape.
I appreciate that, Cindy and Mike and Hari. I just wanted to get more clarity in terms of how we were able to like help fund this, you know what I mean? Because, in the memo, I was trying to understand like where we're trying to pull this from, you know, what are we working with, you know? But Cindy, you gave me a little more clarity as to that, you know, and how there's no grant attached to this, and you know.
Yeah, we roughly get $1.5 million from our general fund budget.
Yeah.
And if we have a project like a crosswalk that's funded by grant, add some of the $200 to the 1.5. And we try to stay within the budget. As you see here, we have underrun. We have about $141,000 put back into the program. So, but I mean, when we bring the report, when we bring the overall paving condition report, which we do bring to the council once every 2-3 years, at that time, if we think that we need to up the $1.5 million to 1.6 or 1.8 every year because of the cost increase, COLA increase, and all that, which staff will bring and will make a recommendation. Because you cannot stay at that $1 million or 1.2. You have to follow the cost increases and make sure that our streets are in good condition.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's basically all my questions. I appreciate it.
Okay, Councilmember.
Yeah, really good question. Is this, first of all, I love the pictures, the inclusion of the before and after pictures. That was a good addition to the memo, just so we can visually see, you know, what this program really covers. It's a really important program that we have. My question is this the program that primarily funds the building of sidewalks, like new sidewalks in our city, or is that part of some of like Allison's project too? Just curious where how sidewalks get funded.
So technically this is just resurfacing of the streets.
Okay.
But when the contract is out there, they're already cutting the street open. We see an opportunity for sidewalks. So ADA program that we have very small amount of money for ADA program. And we try to accomplish the ADA work under these contracts also. But there are more grants for sidewalks. So to connect 140th all the way to the Sound Transit station. So they, we have got some grants from Sound Transit on that. And also you have walk and roll program. There are other programs like school districts get involved with the sidewalks. So there are grants for sidewalk options. There are more grant opportunities, but we try to combine those projects with these to work with the same contract.
Okay. It varies.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. What happens? You said it a little bit because we ran under the grant or the budgeted amount, which is great. I think you mentioned the amount that we didn't spend just gets put back into the program next year.
That's something I think city administrator can answer. What happens is that. If the money is taken from the residential street fund 104, it will go back to 104. And if it's taken from 105 or 106, it will go back to that. In some cases, depending on where, if it's a ADA program, it's not in any different fund, it will go back in the general fund. So all of the above is my answer.
I don't have a ton of questions, though. The mentioning of the picture is really helpful because you kind of see what they're doing out there, and they do great work. So it's hard to push back and say, you know, a bunch of negative stuff about it. So if there's any other questions
for that.
Oh, hey, you know,
Griffin's the one that pushed me to go out and get the after photos.
You know, because I jump on him about pictures. I'm a visual guy, so appreciate the solid there, Griffin. Nice work. I don't have any questions. You do great work, and they do great work. So it looks like you have three folks that are all for forwarding this on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, perfect. So appreciate it. Have a great evening.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That leads us to business agenda item C, the WASDOT TDM program allocation 2023-2025. Mr. Turner. With the idea that after the briefing, it will be forwarded to the 10 to 23 regular consent agenda, please.
Thank you. So I'm here on behalf of the Transportation Demand Management team in DCD. And we are asking to accept the award of WASDOT funding. It's the TDM program allocation for 2 years. From July 2023 this year until June 2025. And this funding is used to implement our commute trip reduction program, which is something that the city has had for a long time. The funding has been flat for many years, but because a transportation package that was passed last year, they've been able to increase the funding a little bit. We use this funding also as a consistent source for us to leverage for other grants. There will be no impact to our general fund. It doesn't require any match amount, but we use this funding as match for other grants. And I wanted to note that the work plan for these next 2 years is going to include updating the city's ETR plan, and that's a four-year plan. So you can expect me to be back again about that pretty soon. So we're asking for approval to consider this item on the consent agenda at the October 2nd regular meeting. Do you have any questions?
Councilmember Audi.
Yeah, I think it's a great award that, you know, you have got, and it's nice that there's no like general fund like attached to it, you know. So I'm really supportive of it. My question I was gonna ask is, so you said the increase from 74,204 to 93,000. You said because of a sort of package.
Yeah.
Can you please explain a little bit about that? Sorry.
Yeah. So the state legislature For the whole state, there was a funding transportation package called Move Ahead Washington, a historic transportation package that passed at the state. And a portion of that money was allocated towards the CTR program. And so that's why we've been able to increase the funding.
Nice. And then you also talked about how sometimes you guys use these types of awards to match other things. So out of curiosity, does that mean you guys want to use the, like, all of it, you guys try to, like, save some of the portion for, to match for future things? Or?
What that means is so there are a lot of grants that require the city to provide, like, I don't know, 20% of the funding needs to come from the city, basically. And this allows us to do that without using the general fund. So it's not that we set aside the money exactly. Most of our funding goes into staff costs because we provide a lot of consultation and things like that. So it's not set aside exactly, but we're able to leverage it to apply for other WSDOT grants, for example. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, you said, like, it's a 20%, like you said, see, it's like a 20% match, you know, so that makes more sense.
Yeah.
As far as, like, for my own clarity. My last quick question, you mentioned towards the end, you said something about, like, you expect to see, it's like, I think you said the next 4 years. Sorry, or,
okay, so there's
you repeat that part, sorry.
The city has a CTR plan.
Yeah.
And as part of the work plan for this funding, mm-hmm. we're going to be updating our CTR plan. So we currently have a plan, but we're going to be updating some of the targets and details in that plan.
The targets in, as far as the 16 that you guys mentioned, in terms of, like, the places you guys like in the city?
So the CTR plan, it sets goals like drive alone rate in the city. And so it'll have a target of, say, I don't know, a 60% drive alone rate, which means that 40% of the trips use other sustainable options. So that'll be one of the things that is decided in the plan. Is what is the goal that all of these work sites are aiming for. And so those work sites that are affected by the CTR law, they have to implement a program to help their employees commute to work in other ways. And then we will survey the employees to see whether they're meeting the targets or not.
Yes, that makes a lot more sense. Appreciate it.
Great.
That's all my questions. I'm just supporting.
Councilmember Delastinus Johnson.
I really like this question. Even though it's like, it just made me stop and really think about these programs more. I really appreciate it. I don't have any questions, but maybe I do. I always wondered how, you know, commute trip reduction was measured. I mean, you said, you know, we're working with employers to reduce single driver trips, but it's a partnership with the drivers. With the workplaces. Do the workplaces receive compensation for participation in commute trip reduction? Like,
no. So we provide technical support and things like we might come to their wellness fair to help talk to their employees, help them do outreach essentially, but they don't get any funding. They're really required to do it to reduce the impact that doing business in the city is having on the residents and the environment.
And so the plan will really focus on, like, what are some strategies around commute trip reduction, which I think is really interesting given, like, the increase in remote work.
Yes. So. Yeah, there's been a lot of changes.
Yeah. Thank you. It'll be interesting to see the new plan.
Thanks.
So the $73,000 is the last 4 years.
2 years, actually. So it ends in June of 2025.
Okay, and so you meant the 74,000 was for 2 years, or was it okay?
For 2 years, and then the plan is a 4-year plan.
I see. Yes. So every 2 years you go for more money, but you have a 4-year plan.
Yes.
Okay, and then I still I don't understand what you spend the money on. So again, walk me through it, because it says that you're tracking progress for folks to commute better. But I don't know what that money is actually spent. Like, what is the money spent? Because you also mentioned that it's used to match other things. So as far as the program, what exactly do you spend the money on?
Yeah. So when we implement the CTR program, we keep track of which sites are affected. And so that entails a lot of just like keeping up with, you know, are the businesses still in Tukwila? Have new businesses moved in? Are they moving out? When businesses grow, will they become CTR affected? So it's tracking things like, is there new development that we need to notify to like get them incorporated into the CTR program? And then providing training for the employee transportation coordinators at each work site. So, you know, informing them of what the law requires, consulting about what their CTR program is going to be, and then ensuring that they are providing information to their employees that's required by the law, and also helping facilitate their employee survey, which happens every other year. So that's something that where they will like survey all of the employees, and we can help facilitate deploying that and making sure that they get enough responses to have enough data. And then also collecting information on their programs. So they need to provide a program report every other year. And so then we can kind of look at what's in their program report and what their results are of the survey and help provide feedback on whether they need to make any adjustments to their program.
So is the money used to pay for staff time? Is that what it is?
A lot of it is staff time, yes.
I see. And then if it's to pay for staff time, are these like City of Tukwila employees, or are they all contractors?
They're all City of Tukwila employees.
So if this money didn't exist, how do they get paid? Because I don't understand. Like, unless they're doing the work off hours, which I understand. So then that money would be like if you had to come in after business hours. Because they're paid already to do a job. But then this money is used to pay them again?
No, the city doesn't actually pay any general fund or the CDM staff. We're 100% grant funded.
I see. Okay, now that makes sense.
So we're all contract employees.
I see. So the money is to fund your department.
My division.
Yeah, your division. I'm sorry. Yeah. Division, department. You know, you open books. Okay. And then how is it that you use it to match funds with WashDOT? Let's say WashDOT requires a 20% or 15%, right, something or another.
So
how is that used?
Yeah. So, for example, when we applied for a regional mobility grant, it was somewhere around 20% match was required, and you have to say, you know, how you're going to provide that amount. And because we have this funding, we're able to explain that we can use our CTR allocation as match for our grant application when we apply. And that just allows the city to apply for more grant funding without having to use city funds. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Well, then, if that money does that money ever leave you folks? Because if you're using it to parlay that into more money down the road from another grant, doesn't that reduce the amount of money that is allocated to you folks to get paid?
It actually, I think of it more as increasing the amount, because basically we're able to say that our activities support multiple TDM programs. The funding that we applied for with the regional mobility grant has a lot of overlap with the CTR program. It definitely doesn't reduce
Okay.
Our funding.
Well, that's my concern. Like, hey, we can match you with 96,000 now.
Yeah.
Now we have no money for you, right? I'm like,
no.
Sorry, all we
the way
gotta get that money away.
Is like if there's a 20% match required,
mm-hmm.
then kind of the maximum that we can apply for is if this 93,000 is the 20%, then we can apply for 80% from the funding source.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Okay,
thank great. You for indulging me.
Of course.
Is there any other questions? Okay. It looks like from what I heard, I had two votes for yes. Sounds like you're going to get three. So we will see this on the 10-2 regular consent agenda. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. So if there is any miscellaneous, doesn't look like there is. Yes, there is. Yes, see, I knew it. I looked at you long enough. I knew you was going to say.
The Allentown, like, crosswalk that leads to the bridge. What's going on with that? Is that done? Is that like on pause? Because I just drive by every day.
Right.
It looks like it's still in progress, but there's nobody working on it.
Right. So what happened there was the crosswalk was poured, and they're supposed to take three or four samples of it, of the concrete, and a couple of them came under the strain. So we're looking at do we need to take more core samples? So, you know, we're looking at remedial action, what to do. That's one part of it. And then also, once you do a new crosswalk, they're following a new ADA requirement to connect it with the bridge. But the bridge itself is not ready to take in a wheelchair. It never did. So, and because on the other side, if you see, there are three bollards there, like a triangle block in the wheelchair to go through. So we may have to make an addition to the existing. Okay. So there are some minor things there that sort of Mike Ronda is still working with the contractors. Mm-hmm. So the short answer is it's still incomplete.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any other questions? Okay. Well, if that concludes it, I will say that this meeting is concluding at 6:12 p.m. You folks have time to go get coffee. Thank you, everybody.